All right, let's start. Last portion of the First Thessalonians chapter 5. The practical command. I don't think that the Karen and I, or the only two, have a hectic life. I'm sure all of you has a busy life. A friend of mine he was the pastor of the Calvary Chapel, Casa Grande. He retired when moved out to the San Antonio, Texas. He said, retired life is more busier than the working. How that happens. But he does. Especially in light of COVID-19, we all went through the difficult time, especially when it was a lockdown. From March until August, we had two precious grandchildren at our home. So our living room turned into the nannies, daycare, school, playground, whatever else was.
And you left in the word precious. That's pretty impressive.
It depends. Depending on what we step on.
He hasn't seen them for a week, so they're so
precious. Back in precious.
It's the funny thing of being a grandparent. When we don't have them, we miss them. When they're at our home, it's like when they are going back home. You know, we cannot think or predict what is going to happen next year. Any of you guys know what's going to happen in the year 2021? Clearly, precisely, without an error? If you do, please take over my job.
I know one thing.
What?
Sun's coming up and sun's going down.
Okay.
That's about it.
But we don't even know what's going to happen next month, tomorrow, not even next minute, right? I remember one time I heard this story at the end of the year. One preacher said, some of you may not be here next year. It was a pretty sized church. And I thought, you're right. Never know. But our God does. He is all-knowing. He's not limited by timeline. Time he invented, he created. So he is above our time. His plan for all of us is far greater than anything we can possibly imagine or think. We are very much preoccupied with what's happening presently, and we cannot think anything else. Sometimes, should I say quite frequently, the things we really do need is being sanctified thoroughly in our lives. As a born-again Christians, it's not something, as I mentioned, it's not sanctification, it's not something that happens once and you're good to go. I wish it was, but it's not. As we all know, sanctification is a progress. And it's a progress or the process that our Lord put us through for the rest of our life. He changes us and conforms us to the image of Jesus Christ. As long as we have a breath in our lung, until the dying moment, we are being sanctified. Amen? From verse 12 through 27 of chapter 5 in 1 Thessalonians, we find the 20 command. I ask you to look for the 20 command. And I'm sure you all did that, right? Right? Okay, good. The Apostle Paul he's making a rapid firing mode, and they're perfect command for us to follow, to be alert and sober-minded for holy and sanctified living in our unruly and dying world. Let's stop and pray. Father, indeed it is unruly. In Louisville, Kentucky, and Portland, Oregon, to name a few, many streets are being burned, people are attacked. Under the name of a social justice, these people don't have a focused idea what the meaning of justice is. When a criminal was shot by police, if that criminal is a black, all of a sudden he becomes a hero. And the police become demons. We are living in an upside down world and dark, dark world. We must stay as your light, your salt in this world, Father. To do that, we need to be educated. We need to be trained by you. Father, we have this 20 command from you. Help us to learn and obedient to you that we may continue your reflecting your light to others. Not to shine the your light to people's face as an annoyance, but they may come to the light and see the truth. Father, we are asking your guidance. Anoint our heart to receive your word. Anoint the one who speaks, that he may only speak your word, not his own. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I see the four different sections in this last sixteen verses. Let's start at the verse 12 of chapter 5. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you. I want you to underline the labor, please. And are over in the Lord. Underline over you in the Lord. And admonish you. And to esteem them highly, very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Stop there, please. First command is recognize those who labor among you. That's the first command. Here, this is from verse 12 to 13, we find it's regarding the leaders. Did you notice the three things that I actually underlined? The three verbs, labor among you, and over is over you, and admonish you. Let's take a look at one at a time. First one, a leader who labor among you. That person should be recognized because of his service, not because of his title. Nothing wrong with the title as long as that person is a God-appointed and God-honoring person. And the second thing we should notice is that the leader who is over you. A self-appointed leader will not last long. Am I making sense? Just because someone said, I want to be a pastor, so that person declared that, I'm a pastor, you follow me. There is nothing more miserable job than a person who is not led by God, being a pastor. We were at the church, Home Mission Church in Tucson, at the Five Point. The Five Point in Tucson is really, really bad place. It's homeless people that's a homeless people's hangout. At least it was when we were there. And the pastor, at the beginning, he started well. He was anointed. But to him, God was not moving fast enough. So he started to generate his own ideas, what God should do. And it didn't go well. Church went flat. I'll talk more about that later. The leader who is admonished you. Definition of admonish is to caution or to reprove gently, to warn. None of us wants to be reproved in our fleshly mind. But if we are corrected for the better, we should and need to listen to our leader's admonition. When somebody corrects you in love, we should listen to them. We should be quick to admit our own fault. Second command we see is in verse 13, to esteem them very highly in love. Highly in love for their work's sake. God has ordained the leadership for the local church. It is true that we are all one in Christ Jesus. As the sheep need a shepherd, people, this human flock also need a shepherd. And they need a local leader. They are God's appointed church. They have a spiritual authority from the Lord, and people should accept them in the Lord. They should not be dictators, but leaders and examples. As they follow the Lord, we must follow them. I love the way Apostle Paul said this. Imitate me as I imitate who? The Lord, the Christ. You know, when I read that, I was a baby Christian at the beginning, and I thought, wow, he's cocky and not humble at all. I didn't understand the Bible well, you know. So when you put it in context, follow me. I will be my best example for you guys to see. You know, it's hard to follow the example of a God whom they never seen, right? So somebody got to become a medium to continue that. All right, third command we find here in these two verses, be at peace among yourselves. Be at peace among yourselves. Paul said the believers in Christ should stop bickering with one another with this simple command. Unfortunately, many people think that it's their God-given job, part of the job description for them to antagonize the pastors. Somehow, trust me, there are some people who love to do that kind of thing. I've seen in my 33 years in the Lord, and last 20 years, in our church, there are plenty of people who did that. Some people just get excited coming after the pastors.
I know I do my part.
You know, if other people were your level, that would be easy, right? All right, verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, and warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one render evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourself and for all. Stop there, please. Do you see the bunch of commands there?
Yeah.
Within two verses? All right, start with the first one. Warn those who are unruly. The unruly are those who are out of line. It's a military term, who is out of rank and who is breaking the rank and goes his own way. And there is one good word for those people, brick. Right? They put them in the brick. Oh yeah, they got to do the first court martial. This self-willed and defiant person who think that he or she is doing God's favor to ignore God's ordained authority. This type of person think that everyone should recognize him or her as God's special appointee. This must be warned. Next command we find, comfort the faint-hearted. One of the definitions is a faint-hearted. By nature or the experience, these people may be easily intimidated, manipulated, and lack courage. And they need to be encouraged and comforted. Barking orders at people who are easily intimidated doesn't help any. Yelling down at those people is worse than anything else. Rather, instead of standing over them and yelling, sitting next to them and putting your arms around them and this will work better. Romans 12:15 says, just jot it down. You guys know this. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Right? Romans 12:15. Uphold the weak. The literal translation is hold fast to the weak. I don't think that it is necessary to talk, that this is necessarily talking about physically weak person, since he is talking about spiritual condition here in context. Mostly he is referring to those who are weak in faith. What am I talking about? It mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 as well as Romans chapter 14. The apostle Paul is talking about some people who would not eat during that time. First century, those people would not eat meat because that they know that this meat was sacrificed at the hidden temple. Okay, here's a hidden temple. Next door is a butcher shop. Because people bring all this meat, animals, and they butcher and they do the sacrifice. What would you do? It goes to the butcher shop and they make a ribeye and T-bone steak, all that good stuff. So why should we throw away good ribeye? Why not eat? Why not have a barbecue, right? If you have a strong faith, to you, that idol is nothing, right? So if the meat was presented to nothing, that means nothing. Just eat it. Nice meat. Eat. Chow down. But some people had a problem. You mean telling me that this meat was given, sacrificed to the idol, Jews? And so I should not eat because it's a defiled food. Jesus mentioned this. what goes into your mouth will not defile, but what comes out of your mouth will defile you. The word will defile you. Am I making sense? So some people who have a weak conscience, a weak faith, they don't want to eat meat, and they insist that others should not do the same thing. For their sake, Apostle Paul said, don't eat the meat. If you are going to stumble your fellow brothers, for their sake, do not eat meat. Would you go to 1 Corinthians, just in case you don't believe me, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We went over this, but let's go again. 10:28. But if anyone say to you, this was offered to idol, do not eat it for the sake of the one who told you. For the conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord and all its fullness. It's not conscience for your conscience, it's rather for the conscience of your weak-hearted brother. Am I making sense? So people who have a weak faith, they are having a hard time. You uphold them. Hold fast those people. Seventh command, be patient with all. Just because someone likes something different than our taste, as long as it's not going against the Christian main doctrine, let it be different in the personal preferences. I think I mentioned this to you guys. I like country music. My wife despises it. So I don't listen to country music. I'm trying to suggest a hint and a subtle hint to Al Edelman about country music, Christian country music. And he doesn't like country music either. So one of his songs that he wrote, Every Beat of My Heart, is a two-bit music. It's a country tune. Maybe that's why I like it so much. Eighth command. See that no one render evil for evil to anyone. Christians should never seek revenge. By its nature, revenge starts after the incident with premeditation. Am I making sense? You did this to me, so I will do this to you. That's a premeditation. That's after the incident. But we should let the Lord handle it. Revenge has nothing to do with self-defense. Are you with me? All those who carry guns, if you're going to have to shoot somebody, you have to shoot it in self-defense, not, okay, I'm going to kill him tomorrow. That doesn't work. Ninth command. Always pursue what is good, both for yourself and for all. It's much easier for us to look for bad things from others who are different than us. It takes a lot of effort to see good things from them. Isn't that true? If you are a type who criticize others often, more than seeing the good in them, this command is for you. You know, it's easy. I do that whenever I watch news. So I stop watching news. It's not that difficult for us to get upset with the things the other side does. And the people there, it's like almost they have no conscience. So should we do the same thing? No. We should stand above that kind of thing. And you may say, well, I don't criticize them. I'm just stating the fact. How about this? How would you like God to state the fact about you? I don't want him to do that because mine is a mile long. I don't want him to talk about my sins that much. It's a good thing that my sins been forgiven. His mercy are new every morning, right? Instead of criticizing, look for something good in that person, especially within the body of Jesus Christ. You'll be surprised how much you start to like that person. I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to myself. Verse 16. Now we see regarding our own. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Are you following the command here? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Here's another command. Verse 19. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecy. test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Starting with the rejoice always. Not only rejoicing in the happy things, but the difficult time as well. Why? Because those difficult things also came from God. Do you know that? Right? You know that, right? Anybody can be happy as long as the things go the way we want. As soon as they stop, happiness goes out the window. But not the joy in the Lord. This is an actual conversation. Somebody told me, I'm so happy. And I asked, how come? He said, because everything is going the way I want. Good for you. Enjoy your ride. It will come to stop or we'll start making a headlong dive. I didn't say that, but I just thought about it. Joy of the Lord is not based on the circumstances or things or people, rather the Lord, who is immovable and unchangeable. Amen? 11th command, pray without ceasing. Prayer has nothing to do with the location, time, or posture. Some people said to pray genuinely, honestly, you have to be on your knees. Sometimes I do that. Do you know why I do that? I don't fall asleep on my knees. Have you ever done that before? When you start to pray, all of a sudden your eyelid become about 20 pounds heavier. And pretty soon you're drooling on the side. Actually, that happened this afternoon. I was holding a mouse. I don't know what I was doing. I fell asleep. Sitting straight up, I fell asleep. And do you know what my computer did? Erased half of the page. I was thinking, you gotta be kidding. Undo, and it stopped at a certain stop. How's that? Okay, start over. Posture has nothing to do with your prayer. You can be in the torture chamber, hung upside down, being beaten, you can still pray, and God hears you. It has everything to do with your heart. Are you with me? You cannot say, I cannot pray all day long. Apostle said, pray without ceasing. I have a job to do. Well, by all means, do your job. Do it faithfully. Do it well. As I said before, let our heart be in communion with Him in depth, that praying to Him, speaking to Him, and listening to Him would be like a normal breathing, like a normal heart beating. 12th command, in everything, give thanks. This is an extremely important thing, but very much misunderstood. We don't give thanks for everything that happens in our lives. Well, we don't give thanks for everything that happens in our lives, but in everything. That two different prepositions make a world of difference. One is for, and the other one is in. We cannot thank God for the difficult time of illness or financial difficulty or loss of job, but we can certainly thank Him in everything. Am I making sense? We recognize that our God is sovereign, He alone is in charge, and there is no such a thing as a blind faith or chance or luck. That's why I always correct people, Christians, when they tell me good luck, I said, no, luck has nothing to do with us. God has everything to do with us. So what is the proper thing for us to say to another person who is facing difficulty? May the God's will be done for you, and I'm praying for you. Don't say good luck. I know that's a kind of common thing for people to say, especially in America. What, Bill?
No, that's just hilarious to me. Good luck with that.
Yeah, it's easy to say that way.
You're so comforting, Bill.
It's because people say that to me all the time.
But you are not anybody. You are a child of God.
That's true. Thank you.
He alone is in charge. Amen? Amen. So He make everything different. Mm-hmm. Another commandment, the 13th one, is do not quench the spirit. You know, I heard this phrase one too many times from the TV evangelist hyped up people. and they do wrong things. They speaking in tongue in the middle of whatever, and completely out of order, and then they pretend that they're interpreting it by saying, "Thus says the Lord." It's not. Prophecy is coming from God to man, while the speaking in tongue goes from man to God. So interpretation should not be, "Thus says the Lord." It should be praising God and whatever the content the person who spoke in tongues said. Anyway, when they said that they misused the gift of the Holy Spirit, and somebody challenged, somebody criticized them, "You did wrong." And then they said this with this phrase, "Do not quench the Spirit. Do not go against the God's anointed." Have you ever heard that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, that is a completely out of context. Our doubt and our indifference and our rejection of Him or by the destruction of others can quench the fire of the Spirit very easily, especially our doubt and that rejection. We are the ones who are missing out on His guidance and the blessing by rejecting His guidance and doubting about Him. 14th command, do not despise the prophecies. Do not despise prophecy. As I mentioned, we've been attending that the Home Mission Church down in downtown Tucson. There was a young guy, that was how many years ago? Almost 30 years ago, right? I guess he's an old guy now. Do the math, right? 30 years. He was a 20-some years old guy. During the service, he did weird things. He got up and started running around and holding onto the door frame almost outside as if there's a wind coming from inside the church. When I asked him why he did what he did, he said, "Holy Ghost," of course, always Holy Ghost. "Holy Ghost pushed me and the wind was so strong." I thought, hogwash? It is not unusual for them to always put the blame, their strange behavior on the Holy Spirit. It's no wonder some Christian denomination, because that kind of charismatic, unruly behavior, some of the Christian denominations go to the other opposite end of the spectrum in order to ignore the many the spiritual gifts that were abused by the charismatic denomination believers. Good example is a Baptist church, Southern Baptist, Presbyterian, and Methodist, all of them going against the spiritual gift. But they do admit that they have the spiritual gift of teaching. Good example, John MacArthur Jr., great teacher, but he would die on the hills that there is no gift of the speaking in tongue. He even said, "Anyone who is speaking in tongue, you have to examine whether it's from the Lord or from Satan." Yeah. I thought, that's going too far. The Lord can do whatever He wants to do. He cannot be stopped because some Christian denomination says since the Bible is completed, there's no more gift of the prophecy. Not so. We need to be attentive to Him for what He wants us to speak through us. Whether it's a simple encouragement or the prophecy for the entire nation. Of course, we always need to test the prophecy against the Bible, but we should not despise prophecies. Understand? Prophecy, whoever speaks the prophecy, that person isn't. If that person does all the time, that person is known as a prophet. During the Old Testament, when the prophet did not speak the word of God, guess what they did to that person? It's not a murder. God told him to do so. If you do that now, I'm sure they will throw you in the slammer. And the 15th command is test all things. Test all things. Would you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14? Chapter 11, verse 14. "And no wonder, for Satan himself transformed himself into an angel of light." I mentioned this before, but I'll say it again. I'm sure many more times to come. There was a book. It was not a novel. It was like a "It Happened to Me" thing. A woman supposedly died and she went to the afterlife. She encountered this brilliant, beautiful light and angels. And somehow she came back to life and wrote a book. And the book name was Into the Light. That was extremely popular among the Christian area. I saw the one person reading that, so I gave him advice, uninvited advice, I guess. Be careful what you get out of that book. And I quote this verse, and I was right. Later turned out to be it was hoax. Just somebody is quoting the Bible verse, that doesn't mean that that person is born-again Christian. Do you know who can do that so well? The devil, Satan. As a matter of fact, he can quote Greek or Hebrew backward if he likes. He knows this Bible. Another good example is the Pharisees. They knew the Old Testament. Were they good people? No. Just because a certain denomination of the quote-unquote Christian churches said that they are Christian, it doesn't mean they are. One of the local church has a woman as a pastor. And when she was assigned to this area, that particular church, she was going through divorce. No more, no offense to ladies, but the word of God says the pastor gotta be a man. Because it says husband of one wife. It does not say a spouse of one spouse. Are you with me? And you may say, well, that is so first century. We are living in 21st century. Do you see the 21st century edition of the Bible? No. Word of God says man being a pastor. You know what? After service, don't argue with me about that. If you're going to argue, please call God. I'm sure He will answer you. Whatever it is, whatever the things they claim, whatever they said, you should do this, you should have this. Test all things. We need to test all things against the Word of God. We cannot decide because our minds can be compromised. Are you with me? But this word never compromise. That's why it is absolute truth and it has the final authority. Amen? And next 16th command, hold fast. Hold fast what is good. After you test the things against the word of God, if they are good, hold them fast. Follow them. Be obedient to them. And don't come up with that famous three-letter word, but. Soon as you add it, but remember what I said? You're just canceling everything in the front. Next command, 17th command. Abstain from every form of evil. We have a question. We have to question ourselves or even our pastime and amusement. If there is any question in our mind whether something is right or wrong, then we have to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Even if it costs us money, or even if it costs us inconvenience. Make sense? Alright, go to the verse 23. Now it's regarding the fellowship. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is a faithful who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that the epistle be read to all the holy brethren. Grace and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. All right. 18th command. Be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this is the reason why the Lord does not give us rapture date. Mm-hmm. He wants us to be ready. Watch and pray and be ready. No one should blame us to be impure, unholy as we wait and watch and pray for His coming to get us. Listen. Your true character is not what you show in front of others. Let me say one more time. Your true Christian character is not what you show to others. Rather, true character is what's happening behind your closed door. If you are doing something that make yourself or other people to wrinkle their eyebrows, Christian eyebrows, then that's not the right thing. And that is what you do, what you are spiritually. God knows and you know yourself. No one should blame us for our unruly and impure behavior. 19th command. Greet all brethren with a holy kiss. I'm saying this again. When we were at that home mission church, I told you there's a lot of strange people, homeless people. They are professional homeless people. They really are. They go get the social security check or welfare check and they get drunk and then rest of the month they beg for money. Amongst the one of them was he was in prison. He was dying with the AIDS virus. And he quote this verse and he said, we should kiss one another. Okay, I knew him. He's a homosexual, actually bisexual. That's what he wanted. You know, what he Apostle Paul said was a Middle Eastern custom. You know how they when you see the Middle Eastern people, they kiss on each other's cheeks. That was acceptable to their custom. Here in America, if you do that, some people look at you. You are yo-yo. Nice firm handshake. Not wet noodle handshake. Have you seen the wet noodle handshake? Oh, yeah. It's like I don't want to touch you, but I have a handshake, so I'm going to do this. Do you know how many times I correct people? Give me a firm handshake. Good hug. Guys, do not hug ladies. Frontal hug. Okay? If you have to do that, lean forward so you don't touch, have a contact with any part of their lady's body. Side hug is preferred. Unless it is your own wife. By all means, go for it. 20th commandment. Command. This epistle be read to all the holy brethren. Let's face it, there is no way we are going to get to know our Lord unless we read this book. Understand this book. Amen? Okay, you have a 20th commandment. So, do likewise, right? What's the next book we are going to study at the Agape Feast? Psalm 105. Yeah, 104 Sunday, 105 next Thursday.